We wanted to repeat some of the voice just in case some folks weren't able to access it. So this way, we all know what the lecture is going to be about today. The title for the month of January for the umbrella topics is The Path of Spiritual Evolution. So we're going to kind of focus the talk today on that, on how is it that the ideas in the Voice of the Silence, when it says the path of spiritual evolution, how is evolution involved with the three halls? So to begin with, we'll just give a little background of the Voice of the Silence. We'll go through what those three halls are, a little description of how they help the student. So the Voice of the Silence is three fragments that HPB memorized from about 90 of them. They're pre-Buddhistic, and they are from the Book of the Golden Precepts, which is also what the secret doctrine is based upon. So we look at the purpose of these halls, what they are, and what we hope to expect when we have entered the halls. It seems that the purpose of the voice is to demonstrate how to integrate our mind, body, and spirit by controlling the mind, which is the fulcrum between spirit and matter. We can begin to change our attitudes, and the spirit and matter will follow suit. Because the mind is driven by feelings and passions, and all of this attaches to the senses, through mental exercise, the mind will withdraw from the world of senses and allow the light of soul to shine through. So when we're talking and thinking about what the senses do, they can divert our spiritual nature from what we need to do. We talk about how we want to make the mind porous to the dictates of the soul, and it is the Voice of the Silence which is said to help us do that. And change has to come from within outward. So, in order to advance along a spiritual path to access these halls, we have to change our attitude about life. But how is actually that done? And that's done one way by reading the Voice of the Silence. We have the Bhagavad Gita, Patanjali's. We have all sorts of these spiritual books that we can use to do that. But the first thing mentally that we have to do is our desires have to be switched from the lower desires to the higher ones. And that's the first step. We say that behind will stands desires. Once our attitude is changed, then We will have a clear direction as to which path to take, either going forward to enlightenment or going the backward path to materialism. It is said that the mind's activity on the objective plane, excuse us, that has to be controlled by the spiritual chela. The learner has to decipher the difference between the desire mind and the soul mind. And conscience bridges the gulf between mental and moral thoughts. And the philosophy states that the integration of these two, mental and moral, is how the journey on the path begins. So there comes a time to every earnest student of theosophy where the head learning or the I, the intellect, is no longer enough for us. The student realizes that in order to progress, he must also feel the heart doctrine. But the free soul is not held by any considerations of progress. He is progress itself, always moving on to greater heights and wider visions. So we see what it is and why we need to change and elevate our mind. The next step is how. And the voice of the silence actually will give us a blueprint for that. And it opens up, the voice of the silence opens up with a sentence regarding that the instructions are for those ignorant of the dangers of the lower iddhi, and the iddhis are the lower coarse psychic mental energy. So we need to get rid of them in order for our mind, as we said, to remain porous to the soul. Over what these halls are, and but first, we have a quote here. The voice of the silence by HPB is a profound and mystic guide for spiritual seekers. It emphasizes the importance of inner transformation, selfless service, and the recognition of the interconnectedness of all beings. Madame Blavatsky's teachings draw from Eastern and Theosophical traditions, offering a unique perspective on the path to spiritual enlightenment. So the first hall, which is considered to be the door of the open mind, is that of ignorance or avidya. And being called the door of the open mind is being open to the idea of our own ignorance, being aware that we need to transform our way of thinking into something more spiritual and becoming more desirous of change. It would still have a connection with the phenomenal world, because that is what our connection with the material world is that which is how we learn. That's how we learn our lessons. Outwardly focused, the hall of ignorance is outwardly focused, is not concentrating on the inner self, the higher self. And many folks that are still in that hall of ignorance are discontented with their lives. They're just not happy. They're looking for something else, but that something else is not from the inward plane, it's from an outward plane. They are restless, dissatisfied, full of cravings. The duties that they do are not because they want to do it, that they know that it needs to be done, but they're doing it just because they are looking for rewards. And peace comes to him who is without attachment. And unfortunately, the person who's still in the hall of ignorance is still attached to the material world. The whole idea is to pure the mind, make pure the mind and the body clean. So when we're looking at this whole idea of the hall of ignorance, many times one can look at the halls, the three halls, and they can be looked at as being analogous with the three states of consciousness. So there are three states of consciousness, or Jagrat, if we're pronouncing it right. Svapna and Prajna. So the hall of ignorance is also known as avidya, ignorance, delusion, not the true nature of self. And what it represents is ordinary human consciousness, life that is dominated by sensations, emotions. The personality is first, and separateness. And knowledge is taken as an external authority based. And they believe that the personal self is the real self. Religion and philosophy are grasped intellectually and they aren't lived. Like we say in theosophy, make theosophy a living power in your life. Well, with the first hall of ignorance, that doesn't happen. So the second hall, that of learning, is the door of pure heart. And then we start getting into the spirit of the teachings. We begin to understand an inward idea first, and because we try the inner meaning of doing one's duty, enables us to see the spiritual in the mundane. And we test what we know. We try to control the mind and make the body steady. But it is still looked at as being the world of great illusion. And it's interesting because it says in the voice, it says in the second hall, the soul will find the blossoms of life, but under every flower, a serpent is coiled. And so what is meant by this whole idea of the serpent? And the serpent is because knowledge without compassion reinforces separateness. The whole tests motive more than intellect. So with this whole idea of the serpent in many respects is looked at as being an evil creature. So when we think of the serpent, it is the serpent that could still pull us away from the hall and maybe make us go back to the hall of ignorance. So it's important that we look at this idea of the serpent as being as distrustful, but at the same time, we learn from it. And the third is the hall of wisdom, or prajna. And if we look at the virtues, the seven virtues, the seventh one is prajna. All the virtues kind of meld together and bond into the seventh one. And at this point, with the hall of wisdom, we can look at it as being that, that when we're in the deep sleep state of the three modes of consciousness, the soul is free to travel in the higher, to obtain higher experiences when we're in deep sleep. So when we're looking at this idea of the hall of wisdom, it's also known as the door of intuition. And that's when one is ready to receive instructions upon the true nature of matter and spirit and body and soul and knowledge and wisdom. The person is said to have an eager intellect and a pure heart. Their mind is illuminated and will make the body radiant. Even though it says mind is liberated, there is still a sense of detachment, because we are at that point, we will be detached from the material world, and we will be able to function more in our spiritual nature. Now, the goal of the process through which the halls are is to be resolute and free from doubt, being willing to accept and live up to one's teacher's concepts. And we can read these books and determine what those precepts are. It is a process to overcome one's weaknesses and to cultivate virtues and build a beautiful character. So with the, so we think we might be about done. Let us see if we just want to make sure. So when we're looking at this whole idea of spiritual evolution, then by going through the halls, and it's interesting, the whole idea, it's like, why did she call them the three halls? And a hall is like a transport. When you walk through a hall, you're going from one place to another. And so the halls that we're looking at here, these three halls, we are going from one to the, we start at the lowest of ignorance. We end up at the hall of wisdom, which is the highest of the three. So this is one way we can evolve, is by following along with these halls and learning how we can improve ourselves, become more spiritual, look at the sacred in the mundane. So there is a lot to think of when we're looking at these three halls. So the idea of spiritual evolution then is that we are evolving as we are going through these halls. So we will end there. We'll take any questions, comments that you may have. Yes, Theosophy Hall.
The serpent, was that always considered the embodiment of evil? Because after all, it's part of our emblem of the Theosophical movement, is the serpent swallowing his tail. So wasn't that something the church came up with later, that the serpent was actually evil? Is it evil? Is it not evil? Is it a tool? What is it?
So, well, we know from the Bible, when the serpent that's in the Garden of Eden tricks Eve into getting Adam to eat the apple from the tree of knowledge. So that, in that way, it's looked at as being evil. But as time goes on, we know that the snake is not evil and it is intelligent. Did you want to follow up?
Well, the follow up is it's often called an apple. Not that it really matters, but it's a fruit. It's a fruit. But the point is that if we had not eaten of the tree of knowledge, and also known as the tree of good and evil, well, we wouldn't have evolved. We'd be in a placid state. It was a necessary part. And unfortunately, he gets the blame for it. And there should be no blame attached. We don't believe.
Right. And a chat here says that it is symbolic of eternal life. And we think one of those reasons is that the snake sheds its skin. So it kind of goes, that's kind of symbolic of that as well. And we'll answer this chat and then SL. The voice says the mind is the great slayer of the real. What does this mean? So the mind is, when we look at it, the great slayer of the real. We're going to put this out and see if somebody wants to. Yes, Theosophy Hall.
Well, yeah. One, if we're mind being part of, I think what she's talking about is the lower. When we are deceived by the external world and place all our focus and attention there, then we're depriving ourselves of our inner sight, which is the spiritual sight, the real. In that sense, when the mind focuses on the outside, he is slaying the real. Mind is the slayer of the real. The disciple, being the inner man, ego, the higher nature of the mind, has to slay that low mind, or in other words, divorce it from personal desires and raise it to a place of gloomy madness. And in doing so, we allow ourselves confidence.
Thank you. So mainly what it is that the following portion of that is that let the disciples slay the slayer. And the thought is that probably we're looking at the lower mind to be slain, if we want to put it that way. SL?
You go back to the symbolism of the hall. When we think of a hall, it is something that others have gone through before, others will go through after us, but usually there are other people going through it with us. We're not just traveling it alone. So that makes us wonder, can we pass through the hall of ignorance, the hall of knowledge, or the hall of wisdom? Can we get through any of those halls alone? Or can we only do it with the help and assistance of others?
We think that you can, and since we're doing it with others, just like coming to the meetings, we help each other to understand what the philosophy is. So we think that it probably would be beneficial if we were traveling this path with others. We get the support and we know that we can kind of encourage each other, and there's that bond between students that are focused on these ideas. So we would say that it would be beneficial to travel the halls with some others. Theosophy Hall?
But HPB on the cover page says dedicated to the few. It just says simply that, dedicated to the few. And these are only three fragments of many that she knew by heart. So the world is still at large, too selfish and to get the rest of the knowledge that she knew. But at least there are, with any movement, there really is a few who affect the many. So as disciples, if we can call ourselves that, or aspiring disciples, maybe better, we are quite a lot before us on our plate, as it were.
Yes, as we travel along these halls, we need each other. And as was said, we can backslide, but if we continue to focus our higher nature on the spiritual side of ourselves, to not look at the personality, but the individuality, we can continue to follow, a more spiritual path. Theosophy Hall?
Well, so when we think of these halls, there's this tendency to be kind of materialized. And of course, think of it as a hallway that we're walking down together, working together. But a hall is also, on a university campus, a place for learning. And we have Theosophy Hall. But still we wonder, of course, is it really a physical thing? So we wonder, wherever we are, we're probably, no matter what we're doing, wherever we are, we're probably in one of those halls, because it could be either a frame of mind or a state of heart. And if that's the case, then here in Theosophy Hall, could we have people in all three halls at the same time? We'll see next week, though.
We think you could. And if we're looking at this idea of the three halls in a practical manner, then we think that that is what we can do, that we're all sitting here next to each other, and we each are in a different place. You know, we, yes, go ahead.
And are they all mutually exclusive? Have to be in one but not the other.
Is it mutually exclusive? And we think that, especially if we are just, oh, we can't think of a word, but if we are just going from, you know, the hall of ignorance and to the hall of learning, we are, yes, did you?
Well, it is a very interesting concept. We do see the light while we're in the hall of ignorance, because once we really start searching, we see the light and we start to follow it. So there's the hall of ignorance, there's a hall of learning, and there's a hall of wisdom. We were thinking once you're in the hall of wisdom, that's it. But now we're actually rethinking that, because it says that further on in the Voice of the Silence, that the prize can be lost even once it's attained, that a sense of pride will mar the work. So we never have to be ever vigilant, even when we think we've achieved a great feat. We're not really there yet, especially in the beginning of that hall of wisdom.
And we think if we realize that, based on what was just said, that almost one of those things like, oh, I've arrived, that in and of itself can be a detriment to one's progress. And that we, to go back to the original question, we definitely think that on any given day, if we're feeling good and cheerful, we could be in one hall. If we wake up with lowered feelings, we could be in another. So we think that the more we work on ourselves, the more we progress, hopefully part of that goal would be that we would be more consistent in the hall of wisdom, rather than going back and forth. JB, your hands up.
Yes, thank you. So when we're on the path of spiritual evolution, how does a theosophist reconcile themselves? I mean, we're all gonna backslide. We're all gonna make mistakes and have, you know, errors in our thoughts and our actions. The church, you know, sometimes would say to make a confession or to have a prayer. How does the theosophist reconcile themselves when we know that we've fallen short of our progress and our duties on the path?
Well, for one thing, we need to realize that anything that comes to us, we have brought upon ourselves through karma. So we think that an acceptance of our karmic debt, so to speak, to society, to ourselves, would be one way that we can reconcile that whole question. That, and we spoke about one's duty. And when we're in the hall of ignorance, it says that we're doing our duty because of what we can get from it. But we know from the Bhagavad Gita that no, the whole idea for spiritual evolution is accepting what is coming to us, because we're responsible for that. We're responsible for that whole idea of what is coming to us. And if we can manage to accept what it is that is happening to us, accept it and, you know, take it inward and look at it, look at ourselves, and we can hopefully, you know, turn our attitudes around to a higher, more spiritual idea. Go ahead, and then
so
MDW.
Just briefly. So, work of charity, they can give us the self-knowledge that we're seeking for, but only if we're doing it in a selfless service to others. If there's no taint of, I am doing this for my own personal development, because that could eventually go down the road of a black magician. Mm. One is strictly interested in theosophy to gain powers over the lower entity, those lower psychic forces. They're very dangerous, and we're warned again and again and again. Now with that kind of stuff, don't be passive either.
Thank you. MDW.
Yes. You know, we're listening and we're saying, why do we need to know all this? Why, what is going on? What is the goal? You know, questioning, you know, we don't live up to what, we all make mistakes. So what is the goal? And it, I can't say it better than what the voice says. It says, now bend thy head and listen well, O Bodhisattva. Compassion speaks and saith, can there be bliss when all that lives must suffer? Shalt thou be saved and hear the whole world cry? So we think it goes back to what has been talking about, is that we're all connected, and that our service is to others. So we backslide and we have our imperfections, but we keep on trying. We keep on trying. That's it. We're devoted to trying to help, to be of service, to build cooperation, you know, to try to build acceptance. But you can't do that with others. We have to do it with ourselves first. We have to become that being.
HPB speaks about the only crime, so to speak, would be if you fall or you slide backwards and you don't try to pick yourself up and do it all over again. So it is necessary that we keep trying, because that in and of itself can affect our karma in the future. If we are grumpy and when something doesn't go right, we don't like the duty we have to do and we complain, and then that is going to affect a future life, our karma. But if we accept it, do what we have to do, don't expect anything in return, then that is a plus. MDW? Unmute.
Trying. It goes to that old adage, behind will stands desire. And everything that we do is dependent upon our desires. So, you know, to be better, we have to have better desires, higher desires, not of, you know, we have to identify the selfishness in ourselves so that we can be unselfish and perhaps selfless from time to time.
Yes, that idea behind will stands desire is a major idea. So the whole idea then is whatever our desire is, the will kind of takes it and runs with it. So it's important that those desires be of a higher nature. So when the will is expressing itself, it will be more of a an obvious action than of something that's positive. So anybody, Asel, your hand up.
As we've listened to this presentation discussion, it seems as though the hall of ignorance is the lowest or the entry point. And yet the voice of silence says even ignorance is better than ignorance, excuse me, even ignorance is better than intellect without soul wisdom to illuminate and guide it. So the lowest state really is intellect. Without the light of our soul wisdom, that maybe we are ignorant. And it even says that in the voice. This hall of ignorance is where thou sawest the light. So that ignorance that we have is quite a step on the path. It's taken us out of pure intellect without any consideration of our duty or responsibility to others or to our higher nature.
Right, it's that the whole idea between personality and individuality. The individuality is what gets goes from life to life, and the personality changes with each life. So we need to focus on trying to maintain a higher aspect to our lives. So that the individuality will progress as well, because we need the light of soul wisdom. So we have a chat here.
Is that about Mara you're looking at?
Yeah, can somebody else read it? I'm having trouble pulling up the
Did you
beginning.
need help with the chat about Mara? The voice says that we should conquer Mara. Who or what is Mara? Is that was the next chat.
Yeah.
Who or what is Mara?
There it is. Oh. Just having a hard time maneuvering this thing. Sorry. Can
The question was, who or what is Mara?
Okay, who
Is
or what is Mara? Can It's temptation, we think. And we can be, we can be tempted at any time. So we think it's important that we are aware and just not go with anything that tempts us to, especially if it's a material thing. So Mara is the temptress. If anybody else wants to add anything to that, SL?
Well, in light of the Lord's Prayer, where it said, lead us not into temptation, is that not really a prayer or an invocation of our higher self rather than a prayer to some outside source of wisdom?
Okay, thank you. Well, we're our time is up. It's exactly noon, and we want to thank everyone for joining us today. And hope we will see you on Wednesday. Thank you. Have a good week.